Are you loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled? Heavenly Father, we praise you for your loving kindness, and we desire to get to know you better. And that's why we study your word regularly. As we learn more about you, we want to copy your example and grow to be more like you. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26, TPT. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Some of us are used to verses 22 and 23 in a translation like the NKJV. It goes like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, many laws in many cultures have things like not killing and not stealing and all that kind of stuff, but there's no culture or law that I know of that says not loving, not kind, not gentle, not good, not faithful. I just don't know any culture anywhere on the planet that has a law against those kinds of character traits. The self-control is translated strength of spirit in the TPT. And the comment there is that there's no reference to self in the original translations. But self-control comes from the strength of spirit, which is actually lordship, which means you are in charge of your choices. You're not being tossed around by other people's opinions. And I think that's where the translations put self-control, where you are disciplined. Lordship suggests sovereignty, dominion, supremacy, authority, command, and mastery. So that's, I think, where the self-control comes in, where you master your flesh, where you have authority over the flesh, because Jesus has earned all authority on earth and in heaven. When he gave himself as a supreme sacrifice, that's when he conquered death and hell, and that's when he gained all authority. And that's why we can exercise authority over our flesh, and that's where the idea of self-control comes from. Now, I enjoy reading out of the Message translation because it gives things a different perspective. And when you're trying to explain something, you give the concept and then you'll say, in other words, this or that, the next thing. So that's why it gives the concept in other words that we're not used to. The translation that I grew up with was the King James Version. And so the closest to that is the NKJV, the New King James Version, that I know of. I haven't gone into it in depth, but that's my go-to version. But I do enjoy the TPT as well, the Passion Translation. That's very insightful and descriptive in many ways. But in this instance, verse 22, the Message mentions a gift. And I don't want confusion about the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, because the Message, it says he brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Now that might make some people think that the fruit is gifts and just get confused between the two. So I just want to make sure you understand that the gifts of the Spirit are different to the fruits of the Spirit. And what we're talking about here is fruit of the Spirit. If you want to look at the gifts of the Spirit, that is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11 in KJV. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the gifts of the Spirit can happen any time in your spiritual walk. In the New Testament, when Cornelius heard the message from Peter, they were praying in tongues almost immediately, and I've seen that happen before. So the gifts of the Spirit are just that. They are gifts which can happen at any time. They can be there in an instant. But the fruit of the Spirit is something, well, it's a fruit. If you plant an apple tree, you have to wait for the pip to grow roots and make a shoot and grow up to be a sapling and then grow up to be a tree, produces leaves, and then it produces the little blossoms, and then it produces apples. So it takes a long time sometimes to produce the fruit on an apple tree, and it takes steady and consistent walking with our loving Heavenly Father, our biggest brother, Jesus, and our loving Holy Spirit to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Those characteristics, those character traits, don't come instantly and they don't come naturally. I found an interesting answer online from AI about the fruit of the Spirit. And while I don't use AI much, I like to use my own brain where possible while it still keeps going. But in this instance, the AI answer was quite interesting on the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, agape, that's unconditional, selfless love for others. Joy, deep, lasting gladness and contentment, not just happiness. Peace, inner calm and wholeness, even in difficult times. Patience or long-suffering, enduring difficult situations and people without anger. Kindness, showing compassion, generosity and goodwill. Goodness, moral excellence and integrity. Faithfulness, loyalty, trustworthiness and commitment. Gentleness or meekness, strength with humility and respect. Self-control or temperance, discipline over one's thoughts, words and actions. Now, I wouldn't be using that in any teachings on doctrine or deeper meanings, but it's just interesting to hear the words that we know so well described slightly differently in a bit more detail. So, yeah, please don't make a doctrine out of what I just got from AI. It's just explaining the words slightly differently. Someone asked me the other day what I think of AI. Well, I don't think it's good or bad or indifferent. Just like money and fire and dynamite, they are also not good or bad. They are innate. But all of those things can be used for good and it can be used for evil. Money, fire and dynamite can be used for good and it can be used for evil. Fire can be used to have a braai, barbecue, and it can be used to destroy. Dynamite can be used to blow rocks away to build a bridge, or it can be used to cause havoc. And money can be used to help people, and it can be used to cause misery. So AI also, I would just caution the use of AI, that you don't just follow it blindly, because it is just computer generated as per the database, information base that they have online on their servers. And yeah, I wouldn't go basing any life-changing decisions on what you get from AI. And the similar thoughts go with the different translations. Someone asked me about the different translations. Basically, the different translations say the same things differently. There are some translations that don't get the accuracy quite 100%. But basically, you need to read God's word in conjunction with, almost like the teaming up with the Holy Spirit. You cannot read the Bible by yourself. You have to read it with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives you that revelation to make it a rhema revelation, where it's not just the Logos. Logos is the written word, where rhema is the revealed word of God. So you need to read the word prayerfully and thoughtfully, with the Holy Spirit so that you can get the true understanding of the meaning that God intended when that word was recorded by humans so many years ago. There's more on the gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12, verse 3 to 8, TPT. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. After listing the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 says you need to crucify your flesh. And Jesus himself said the same thing in Luke 9, verse 23, TPT. Jesus said to all of his followers, "If you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to my ways." So our flesh, our sinful nature, our selfishness has no right to continue existence. It's been crucified, it's dead. It's like a bag of clothing. If you kick the bag of clothing, it won't get hurt because it's dead. It's inanimate. It is not a living thing. And so our selfish nature needs to be dead, needs to be inanimate, needs to be not a living thing as well. The Spirit of our Redeemer is the one that's living in us and through us. And that's the one we must follow daily. And we must feed and nurture our spirit. That's why we look to God's Word daily, so that our spirit can go stronger, because we are feeding it. As we feed our bodies, we eat every day. Most of us eat every day. I mean, there are fasting things as well, but generally people eat every day. And so we need to eat spiritual food every day. We need to feed our spirits daily. And that's why we delve into God's word and learn and grow every day. Jesus said this in Mark 8, 35, TPT. "For if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep." And this is our philosophy in life. It's in Philippians 1, verse 20 to 21, TPT, which says this: "No matter what, I will continue to hope and passionately cling to Christ, so that he will be openly revealed through me before everyone's eyes. So I will not be ashamed. In my life or in my death, Christ will be magnified in me. My true life is the Anointed One, and dying means gaining more of him." So some people think that dying refers to physical death. When you die physically, then you see Jesus face to face, and it does mean that, but it also means, like we said earlier, dying to ourselves, which we need to do daily. As Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me," which I just read in Mark 8. And so with the love and life of Jesus Christ coursing through our spiritual veins, let us continue to shine our lights.